Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Thursdays at 7 p.m. Central, 6 Mountain, catch On Call with the Prairie Doc on SDPB Television. The Prairie Doc is Dr. Richard Holm, and he joins us today. Dr. Holm, welcome.
Hi, Lori.
How are you?
Thank you for inviting me, yes. And tonight's show ought to be pretty interesting, don't you think?
I think tonight's show might be a pretty one, good one to tune into. Let's tell them a little bit about it, because I...
Yeah, tell us what you're planning on doing.
I get to be here on call with the Prairie Doc to interview you about your beautiful book, Life's Final Season, and I'm so privileged and honored to be there. So we're going to have this event at the Sioux Falls studio, but those tickets are out, so you need to watch it online 7 p.m. or on TV at 7 p.m. on SDPB TV.
Yeah.
So we'll get to have a lovely long conversation with you. And this amazing book.
Well, I like you saying nice things about my book. You know, you write a book like that, you put a 4 years worth of work into it, and then you hope that it's readable and so or helpful to people. So there, you know, I am enjoying people giving me feedback about it. So, and I'm going to be very interested in hearing your questions.
Well, and I was at the South Dakota Festival of Books, as were you. And when I was in the Zambros, pop up shop there where they were selling books, I think there were four people around me, and that was the book that they had. So I don't know if you had just gotten done speaking, and they were all filing at that time, or if that's just how the day was at the Zambros bookstore at the festival.
Yeah, that was neat.
Yeah.
Well, I just heard your discussion about Frankenstein. I want you to know I'm a Francophile myself.
Are you?
Yeah, I wrote an essay for Pharos, which is a medical literature magazine, years and years ago. And the major thrust that I saw from the book, because I read it twice before I finalized what I was going to say, was that in medical ethics, we have a principle called primum nocere, or nocere. First of all, do no harm. And here was a scientist or a physician whom we don't know what he was, probably more of a scientist than anybody. And he made a magnificent creature and subsequently ran away from it and let it do harm upon the populace. Well, the biggest harm that he did was upon Frankenstein, the scientist, and his family. And
right.
So it's the greatest tragedy of all time. I mean, here is a wonderful invention that wreaks havoc and harm.
Right. It
so
is really...
We don't want to do that, you know?
Yeah. And how do you apply that then, you know, in medical ethics today? Because it would be easy to sort of say, well, that's for the research scientists. That's for, you know, the people who are working with cloning, and they need to worry about some of those things. How does it apply to, you know, physicians in South Dakota who are helping people at end of life or helping people, you know, in the hospital?
I think the biggest crux of the question is at the end of a person's life. You know, for example, let's take the pacemaker that your guest referred to, you know, that has now can keep a person alive who may have a congenital or an anomaly of their heart rhythm when everything else is fine and they have many years to live except that heart rhythm problem, and you put in a pacemaker and they're alive until the end of their life from another cause. If you have a person at the end of their life, generally in the 80 to 90 year age bracket, and you put in a device like that, it takes away one of the easiest ways of dying. And let's face it, we're all going to die. You just took away the easiest way. I mean, the nicest way I can imagine going is to wake up in the morning dead. You know, that you went to bed fine, you kissed all your family members and said, I love you, and then you never woke up.
Yeah.
And that's what a heart rhythm death is, it can be like you're going along, maybe you're awake and doing something in the day, and then suddenly you're gone. But there's a time when a person is old enough that you wouldn't want the pacemaker if, for example, there were other things going on in that person's health.
Right.
And so there's the, first of all, do no harm, the intervention, the magical, fabulous technology that we have right now. When do we not provide it when a person is going to be dying?
And that seems like a really good opportunity to have, and you talk so much about this on this show and in your other work and in your book, certainly, about having those conversations. So instead of just going on to, you know, yep, it's time for a pacemaker, you know, grandpa is 92, this is a time to say, all right, we need to start thinking about these things in a deep way, and talking amongst ourselves about these things in a deep way. So even if you decided to go with the procedure, you would have those conversations to lay the groundwork for expectations going forward.
You take a person who is having signs of dementia,
right?
Significant signs of dementia. Boy, if that's me, do not put a pacemaker in me. If I stop eating, do not put a feeding tube in me. You know, death is, why are we so rampantly afraid of dying? You know, we're all going to be there. We used to come in this life gently and go out gently, and then we found IV fluids and feeding tubes and defibrillators, and now we can do wonderful things at times that are marvelous and wonderful for the person, but sometimes it's not right. And so I think the advance directive, you know, making a living will is something that we should all do. And I think one of the things that we should say to our family members, if I don't know what I'm doing and I stop and I don't recognize my grandchildren, for example, and I come to a point where I stop eating and drinking, do not put a feeding tube down there, because it will keep me alive for miserable months or maybe even years laying in a nursing home. That is not my idea of life. So I think an advance directive at Thanksgiving, everybody's Thanksgiving, we should sit around the dinner table and say, okay, bear with me. Homestead, just ask this one question and it'll give us an idea, and everybody, no matter what your age, should answer. Yeah. If you have a stroke or a brain injury in a car accident or something, you don't know your family members are, and it doesn't look like it's going to go any way differently, would you want a feeding tube to keep you alive, yes or no?
Right.
Just go around the table and let people express those so that we don't have to wrestle with it if it happens to them and that terrible question comes down to the family and then they all debate and then the feeding tube goes down, you know.
And hey, if you're talking about that at Thanksgiving, as difficult as that sounds, at least you're not talking politics at Thanksgiving. So
that's right.
Change the subject, and no one will go back.